Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
Adam Sandler's classic, the Thanksgiving song, singing the praises of the beloved turkey, all parts of the turkey, not just the ones that we're going to eat next week on the show. It's nice to have Bill Nolan with us, who is one of the home economists at the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. Bill, welcome to WGN. Very nice to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Well, we are very excited to have you on the show here today. It's one of the most popular of the food shows that we do all year. Generally, you know, the phone lines just go crazy with people calling in and texting in their questions about Thanksgiving preparation. Because who do you think are you know, the people that are calling into the Butterball Turkey Talk Line? Are they first-timers? Are they Thanksgiving dinner veterans?
We get a mix. You know, we get a real mix. It's very interesting. We have people that call in that have been cooking turkey for 30 years, but they just want that reassurance to talk to somebody, talk to the experts that they're doing it the right way. Then we have the people that call in, or they're calling in and they're doing it for the first time. And what we're noticing here trend-wise is that, you know, people now have not just the traditional Thanksgiving. They may have that, but they may have a Friendsgiving. They may have it on a different day. And there's all types of Thanksgivings. And so we want to be here at Butterball to help people, no matter what they're doing with their holiday, and help them have a successful successful party, successful dinner. And that's what we're here for.
Is it your observation that these Friendsgivings or these alternate Thanksgiving celebrations are very much the same as a traditional family gathering, same foods, or are people, you know, trending off in different directions?
Yeah, they're trending off in different directions a little bit, you know, and, you know, some are trying to replicate what they've learned at home from their mothers, their grandmothers, and what have you, which is great, but some want to try, you know, there's different tastes in food now. People want to go off into different areas. We may do some more ethnic dishes, different flavors. You mentioned sriracha earlier, I think, on your earlier bit, you know, and, you know, I mean, people are saying, hey, I want something that's, you know, turkey and dressing is, or stuffing is really good. But I want something that's going to be a little bit different. So what we try to do is provide them the resources and say, hey, you know, you want to try something? Let's do a cauliflower bake. Mm. You know, people are a little more healthy or health conscious. You know, they're trying to avoid all kinds of things, you know, for whether it be a dietary reason or whatever it might be. So we want to be able to be there to accommodate them. And one of the things that we did this year is we're really excited to announce that we brought on Freddie Prinze Jr., the actor and cookbook author. And he's partnering with us to help provide folks with, you know, new ideas in Thanksgiving. And it's kind of a neat idea. We're actually having him at the call line on November 14th.
Oh, is
so
that right?
So if any of your listeners want to call in, they may get a chance to talk to Freddie because he's actually going to be taking calls too.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. I love that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to have him in there. And Freddie, of course, you know, a lot of us remember his father and, you know, in the movies that Freddie has done. But Freddie's quite an accomplished cook himself, and he's authored cookbooks, and so he's got a unique perspective on things. He's held Thanksgiving dinners in all kinds of different venues, sizes, what have you. So it'll be a lot of fun to work with him this year.
That is going to be very interesting. You were talking about, you know, different trends and things, and people trying to eat a little more healthful. You mentioned a cauliflower bake. Is that like a substitute for a side dish? Because a lot of people are substituting mashed cauliflower for mashed potatoes this year.
Exactly.
And lately, yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Something like along those lines?
Exactly. It's it would substitute for a mashed potato. You know, you see cauliflower popping up a lot in even, you know, I was out for pizza the other night. They have pizza crust that's made with a lot of cauliflower.
Right. It's actually very good.
And so Yeah, and it's really good. So cauliflower rice, you know, people do that, you know, chop it up instead of eating rice. So, yeah, the cauliflower bake, and a lot of these recipes are on our website that you can get to by Butterball, going to butterball.com. And there's a host of recipes on there, from traditional roasting turkeys to side dishes and what have you.
Well, you know what? We're going to just open up our phone lines here and do basically what you do on your Butterball Turkey Talk line, answer questions that people may have on a variety of Thanksgiving preparation questions. The phone lines always get jammed when we do this every year. And this year, so far, looks like it's no exception. If you want to get on the phone line right now, 312-981-7200. And Carrie, you're going to be up first. You're on with Bill Nolan from the Butterball Talk Line. Hi.
Hey, Dean. Hey, Bill. Hey, I have a question for you. This is about storage. Every year when there's great deals around Thanksgiving, I usually buy some extra turkeys, Butterballs, of course. And I was just cleaning out my freezer, and I found one. It's not like 20 years old or anything, but how long can you keep them in the freezer before you should just get rid of them? Because I'm never quite sure.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for your business as well. We, you know, that's a common question that we get from people, because, you know, a lot of times they go into the freezer and it's like, boy, I have no idea how long this has been in here. The turkeys in the freezer, as long as it's been under refrigeration, or I'm sorry, in the freezer, it's good for 2 years. So, you know, anything over 2 years, you're going to have a decline in quality, but it's not necessarily going to be a food safety issue, but the quality will go down. So, you know, you want to take...
Yeah, that makes sense. The texture might change a little, or...
Yeah, the texture may change a little bit. It won't be quite as
probably
enjoyable
taste,
to eat, I guess.
The taste will be somewhat diminished, don't you think?
Yeah, the dish will be somewhat diminished. But what you can do is, if you, Carrie, if you have a tag on there, you can call our turkey talk line, and if there's a turkey tag on there, we can pull a date off of that. There's code.
Oh, okay.
You can't read. We can pull a date off of that and tell when that turkey was produced, and that way you'll have an idea if you're not sure if it was in there for 2 years or 5 years.
Sure.
You know, a lot
That's
of times freezers, you know, things tend to get lost at the bottom of the freezer, and
exactly.
we kind of forget what's in there. But if there's
I could just make turkey stock as well, and that would probably work just fine, too.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that while you guys were talking, that a turkey like that would make a delicious stock. You could make a wonderful, like, turkey and vegetable soup out of it if it's, you know, you don't want to serve it as a main entree.
Yeah, absolutely. That would work really well. And, you know, the flavor you can get out of those bones, I mean, is just fantastic. But, again, you know, you don't have to worry about an issue with food safety. But if you do want to get an idea if it's, you know, when the date was, just give us a call on the talk line. We're there this time of the year, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can reach us by calling 1-800-BUTTERBALL, which is 800-288-8372.
Carrie,
thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Carrie, what's your guess on when that went into the freezer?
Oh, well, it's like I said, it wasn't last Thanksgiving, so my guess is it's probably two and a couple months, you know. Probably two Thanksgivings ago, and you buy it.
You're probably okay. You're probably okay in that. I don't think you're going to see really any diminished quality of it, or with the turkey like that being in there for 2 years, because they are frozen solid. I mean, you know, it's a solid chunk. So you should be fine. But feel free to give us a call, and we can try to decipher that date for you.
Carrie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We'll take some more of your calls in a minute. 312-981-7200, the Butterball Turkey Talk Line, on with us today. Our Food Time segment this week, sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurants. 1223 Dean Richards Food Time Show, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. Talking with the Butterball Turkey Talk Line today. 312-981-7200 to call in or to text your questions to get ready for Thanksgiving preparation. And Bill Nolan from the talk line is on with us today. Bill, a text coming in from the 847 area code asking, how do I choose the size of the turkey? I'm going to have 10 people at the house. What is the correct size bird I need for that?
That is a very good question. And you know what? It's one of the first questions that we get early in the season because people are planning and they're saying, and we advise people, you know, plan early, know what you're going to have for a number of guests, and we can help you with it. For a turkey for 10 guests, we would recommend that you would need a 20-pound turkey. Now, one of the things that customers can do is we say that they can also go to our website, which is butterball.com. We have a really cool feature on there called a Butterball Turkey Calculator, and they can plug in the numbers and say we have 10 guests coming, and it will tell you how big of a turkey you need to purchase and also how much stuffing you will need if you're going to choose to stuff that turkey.
Is there a general rule, though, for number of pounds per person?
Yeah, there is. There is a general rule. What we say for a whole, if you're buying whole turkey, we say about a pound and a half per person. And people say, well, that sounds like a lot, but you have to figure, you know, when you're taking a whole turkey, the gross weight of the turkey, you know, you got the carcass, the bones, everything else. And if you plan on a pound and a half per person, you will come up with enough for leftovers. You know, a lot of people, of course, leftovers, turkey sandwiches the next day are the best thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's highly recommended. But they should be okay with going with a 20-pound turkey. A lot of times people will do two because a lot of people tend to like white meat more. They might get a regular turkey, and then a breast as well and cook that so they have extra white meat.
You know, I've lately, both for chicken and turkey, I cook turkey a lot during the year. I just like it. Mm-hmm. But lately, I used to be a strictly white meat guy. But lately, I don't know. The dark meat is so moist and seems to be more flavorful to me.
It truly is, you know, it's interesting you brought that up because we had an exercise. We have about 45 to 50 people on the talk line, our staff, and a lot of these people have been here for a long time because it's a great place to work and we get to help people. But one of the exercises that we did this year is getting ready for the season is we did some turkey parts. So we had drumsticks and we had wings, and we tried cooking those, given the directions on the package to see what the results would be. And it's a good way to convert people to dark meat. I'm a fan myself of dark meat. I love turkey thighs. Yeah. I love chicken thighs. They're more moist. They have a little bit better flavor. So a lot of people are discovering that. It's still more white meat, but we're converting people. We're converting people.
Yeah. Well, there's a little something for everybody out there.
Welcome to Santa's Workshop. How about?
And it's 12:36, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And today is our annual Turkey Talk Line segment on our Food Time show. Bill Nolan from the Butterball Turkey Talk Line is on the line with us. You can learn more at butterball.com or by calling 1-800-BUTTERBALL. Or we've got our phone lines open, and Bill will be happy to answer your questions. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number to call in or to text. Before we get back to the text line, Bill, I just wanted to cover the subject of thawing a turkey because people may be buying the frozen birds right now. I've got plenty of time to think about a proper and most of all safe thawing of the bird.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because this is one of the things that we get a lot of calls on. Our calls are cyclical. So people at the beginning of the season, they're like, how big of a turkey should I get? The next question is, how do I thaw it? And the general rule of thumb is that a week before Thanksgiving, so the Thursday before Thanksgiving is National Thaw Your Turkey Day. Now, this is a little bit unofficial, but that's what we call it. And that's the day that you want to get your turkey and get it out of the freezer and put it into the refrigerator to thaw. Now, there are two methods to thaw. We recommend refrigerator thawing because it's the easiest way to do it. It's the safest way to do it. And you put it in the refrigerator. That turkey, when you put it in there, you want to put it onto a pan that's going to have a lip on it so that it, as it defrosts, you don't have any liquid that's dripping on anything else in the refrigerator. You want to put it on the bottom shelf of your refrigerator. It's really great if you have an extra refrigerator and just put it in there. That way the door is not opening and closing all the time. But the rule of thumb is it's going to thaw out at about 1 day for every 4 pounds of turkey.
Okay.
So even the larger turkeys, you know, they're going to thaw in that week's time. You cannot count Thanksgiving Day as one of those days. But if you take it out the Thursday before, you should have plenty of time. Now, some people will panic a little bit and will get calls and say, oh, my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I checked my turkey, and it's Tuesday, and Thanksgiving isn't for 48 hours, and it's completely thawed. You have 4 days to use that turkey once it's completely thawed. So there's wiggle room in there. You don't have to worry about it. The other way you can thaw a turkey, and this is for people that are thawing it a little closer in to the actual day, is cold water thawing. Now, for that method, it takes a little bit more attention, but it is also very effective and very safe. What you want to do is take your turkey and put it into a container. We recommend a clean sink. You leave the turkey, of course, in the wrapper. Everything remains in the wrapper at all times. The turkey remains in the wrapper at all times for food safety. But you put it into the sink and cover it with cold water. Put it into the sink breast side down, and you want to change that water every 30 minutes because that water is, you know, you want to keep it fresh, and it's going to help it actually thaw quicker. Now, the rule of thumb on that is 30 minutes per pound, so it's considerably faster. It's a good way for people who waited, you know, a little bit too long to take it and put it in the refrigerator to do it. And just as some, you know, examples, a 12 to 16 pound turkey, doing it in the cold water method will take about 6 to 8 hours to thaw. So it's gonna thaw out very quickly. And people can also do a combination method if they want to. You know, some people might put it into the refrigerator a couple of days before, and they're like, well, I don't know if it's really going to be thawed. They can combine that with cold water method.
The water
and
method,
go
right.
Back, yeah, back and forth. And then, of course, you know, as always with anything to do with turkey, you know, if when you're ever in doubt with anything, just pick up the phone, call Butterball, and one of our experts are more than happy to help walk you through the process and ease your fears. So that's what we're here to help people be calm, have a nice Thanksgiving.
What if somebody buys a fresh bird? Thawing is not the issue, but how quickly can you store a bird that is not frozen but fresh before it goes into the oven?
Yeah, that's a good question. All the turkeys that Butterball sells as fresh turkeys in the month of November, when you see a turkey in the month of November out, and they usually won't be out until a little bit closer to the holiday. I mean, we're only on November 3rd now, so it's a ways out. And Thanksgiving is late this year. You know, it's the very end of the month.
Right.
Yeah, 28th. So, you know, any turkey that's sold in the month of November is going to be good in the refrigerator. As long as it's held in the refrigerator under 40 degrees, it's going to be good until 2 days after Thanksgiving. So, and the reason being is those turkeys are deep chilled when we have them and we sell them. So you might pick up a fresh turkey at the store and you feel the outside of it and say, boy, it really feels like it's frozen. It's not frozen solid, it's deep chilled. So those turkeys sold as fresh, again, if you see one in the store after November 1st, it's going to be good and safe until 2 days after Thanksgiving. And the same goes for Christmas. A lot of people do turkey for Christmas, and the talk line is open through Christmas Eve. So, you know, people, if they're doing one at Christmas time, same thing. If you buy your Christmas turkey, if you're having turkey for that holiday, and you buy it in December, it's going to be good through Christmas.
A text in from the 773 area code. I'd like to try grilling my turkey on my Weber barbecue kettle. How do I go about doing that? I have to say, I did that one time a long time ago. I don't think I've ever had a more delicious turkey than the time that I cooked it. And actually, at that time, I did have a Weber kettle. It took a little work because you had to make sure that the coals, you know, a certain number of coals, charcoal briquettes, you know, were in the kettle at the right time and burning properly and so forth. But man, it was delicious.
Oh, it's a great way to cook turkey. And I myself personally, I cook with a Weber kettle. I'm a charcoal guy, and I think it works wonderful. And what they want to do if they're going to be doing it in a Weber kettle is they want to use the indirect method, of course. And what that means is the coals will not be directly underneath the turkey as the turkey cooks. They will be off to the side, and you'll want to put a drip pan in the center underneath the turkey to catch the drippings. And it would be really the best way to retain that heat in there, because essentially the grill is acting as an oven, and it's indirect heat, so you're not going to get the turkey drying out. And the best way to do it is to get a thermometer that you can put into the turkey with a remote, a cord that plugs into a display.
Right.
And you can, that way you can put the lid on and you can monitor
the
through.
The temperature.
And it's a good time, too, to quickly mention temperatures for turkeys, because when you're cooking in safe temperatures, we recommend that the turkeys, when you cook them, that you take the temperatures with a food thermometer, and that they are cooked to 170 degrees in the breast, the white meat, and 180 degrees in the thigh. And the reason the thigh is a little bit higher, it's, that we talked earlier about that dark meat, it has a different consistency to it. It's going to have a better eating quality when it's at 180 degrees versus 170 degrees.
Yeah, you can use an old-fashioned, meat thermometer, or as you say, the kind that you put in and the cord comes out into an actual readout thermometer. Or a lot of the newer thermometers are Bluetooth, and you put the probe in the turkey in the thickest part of the thigh, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, right?
That is exactly right, and it's interesting you mentioned that, because when we went through training with our staff this year, and we actually had a group in from Canada, and I was talking to them about thermometers, and I said, they do have Bluetooth, and I have a Bluetooth as well, and I brought it in and showed the thermometer to them, and it's a great way to do it, because and of course it's Bluetooth, so the particular model I have has an app for the phone,
right.
So you can monitor it wherever you are.
Yeah,
you
on your phone, you don't have to open the grill and let the heat out and change the temperature of the cooking at all. It's a pretty good idea. Our Sunday morning show continuing here with Bill Nolan from the Butterball Turkey Talk Line, answering your questions, getting you ready for Thanksgiving. Somebody texted in, Bill, asking about the spatchcocking method of turkey preparation. It's a funny word, but it's a very popular cooking technique for chickens, for turkeys, flattening out the bird instead of serving it in its more traditional form.
Exactly. It's a great method, and I've been spatchcocking chickens for a long time, and I tried a turkey last year, and it really works well. Spatchcocking, essentially, as you said, Dean, is flattening that turkey out. So what you want to do in order to spatchcock is to remove, the first thing you have to do is cut that turkey, cut the backbone out of that turkey. So you'll want to take the turkey and flip it over so that it's breast side down. And the best way to remove that backbone is if you have a pair of poultry shears or kitchen shears.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to do it. So you just identify that backbone, and you can feel it. It's right in the center between the two sides of the back. And you want to snip up one side. And if you reach inside the turkey, you can feel it. You snip up one side all the way up to the top of the turkey. And then you switch and you snip up the other side about maybe an inch over, which would be the other side of the backbone, snip all the way up through the bone. And you'll hear it crunch a little bit as you're cutting through the bone, but a good pair of shears will go right through. After you've snipped all the way through, you just simply pull that backbone out, and then you want to turn the turkey back over and then press down on the breast so that you're flattening it, and it'll just be splayed out, in other words. So it'll be nice and even as you push it down. And we recommend that when you spatchcock a turkey, you cook it at 400 degrees. And you press it down, put it into a pan that's going to fit the spatchcock turkey, because it's going to be, depending on the size of turkey, it's going to be, you know, pretty wide.
Yeah, pretty spread out,
right? Pretty spread out. Put it into that pan, a foil-lined pan. Make sure that everything fits in there. I don't want to have any drumsticks or wings poking out, because then, of course, they'll burn if it's outside the pan. But you put it into the oven for about an hour and 20 minutes, and again, depending on the size of the bird. Again, you know, you want to check those temperatures, 170 in the breast and 180 in the thigh. And also will help people, too, if they want to learn more about this and actually see how that is snipped out. If they go to our website at butterball.com, there's a bar across the top, and it says how to. And they can click on that, and there are how-to videos as well as written instructions or typed instructions that will tell you how to spatchcock a turkey, how to grill a turkey, everything. Yeah. And then, of course, they can call us as well and ask one of the experts, and they can walk them through it, too.
What's the advantage of spatchcocking a turkey? Is it the decreased cooking time?
Primarily, it's the decreased cooking time. Of course, people that like, you know, the population is kind of split on people if they like to stuff their turkey or not with their stuffing. But, of course, you can't do that with a spatchcock turkey, but it does really cut down on the cooking time. You know, if you take a look at a regular turkey, just on cooking time in our traditional, what we call the open pan method for a whole turkey, a turkey that's, say, 10 to 18 pounds is going to take 3 to 3.5 hours to roast in a 325 degree oven. Now, if you spatchcock it, because it is not a mass, of course, it's spread out, it's going to cook substantially faster. And the nice thing about it, too, for me, from an aesthetics point viewpoint, you know, I'm a chef, so I take a look at things and I say, you know, it has to have eye appeal as well. You're going to have a nice golden skin on that turkey, too, because it's going to, all that skin is going to be exposed because you're putting it the cut side down. So it's a nice presentation, you know, and again, you're saving time.
A lot of text questions today. One of them has to do with stuffing and side dishes. People are saying, just want to do something different this year than what we always do in the family. Do you have recipes for that as well on your website? And I know that you do. I'm looking at a rosemary mashed sweet potato recipe that sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the great things that we added this year were some of these side dishes. You know, we're going into, you know, you take a look at the rosemary mash, because it's typically you say, well, sweet potatoes, you're just going to have sweet potatoes with some brown sugar on them or what have you. But if you do something that's a little unusual like this, you still keep that dish that is inherent to Thanksgiving. Okay, sweet potatoes and Thanksgiving, they go together, but we're putting a twist on it for you.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier about the mashed cauliflower, which is a cauliflower and potato together that really cuts down the carbs and makes it much more healthier. There's a recipe for that. Do you have a favorite stuffing?
You know, I like, I'm not a guy that stuffs my turkey, but I do like stuffing. Some of the stuffings that are out there, I personally like stuffing that has a variety of ingredients in it. I love nuts in stuffing. I love walnuts.
Yep.
I think apples in stuffing is very nice. It adds some flavor. I like raisins or craisins in stuffing. I don't go too crazy, but, you know, I like something that's going to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, it makes the texture a little more interesting. And then, of course, my favorite thing after Thanksgiving is not just the turkey sandwich, but where you make a turkey sandwich with some stuffing and some cranberry relish on it. You know, you're recreating your whole dinner in a sandwich. And there's nothing better. That's why you got to have all those leftovers.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we always tell people when they call in, it's like, make sure you're getting enough turkey to have those leftovers that you can make those. And when I mentioned that group from Canada that we had in earlier this year, and I was talking to one of the attendees, and they said, yeah, they had a restaurant in Toronto, I think, that they went to that specialized in this. Basically, it was a Thanksgiving sandwich, and it was exactly what you described. It was turkey stuffing.
Fantastic.
It was the whole nine yards.
Heaven on earth
wonderful.
Is what it should be called.
Exactly.
Bill Nolan's with the Butterball Turkey Talk Line, 1-800 Butterball or butterball.com for more info. And, Bill, I hope we can talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.